jam. It still is the jam. X, I see you in the building, bro. Come on. Yeah, what up, everybody? We're about to get this show started. Y'all know what time it is, Black Culture. Come on, I am your boy, Jersey. What up? XAB, what's going on, bro? What's
going on, broski?
Feeling good, bro. Talk by T. What up, bro? I see you in the building. Yes, Ty G. What up, bro? I see you in the building. How we feeling? XAB's in the building. My sound effects is going to be acting crazy, as per usual. We're about to get it together soon. But welcome, everybody, to Black Culture, the Breakdown. What up, Ty G? How we feeling, man? About to get this whole night popping. XAB, how we feeling?
I'm chilling, broski. How you been?
Good, man. I'm feeling great here on a Sunday evening, just trying to get my life together. Anybody still feeling like they got the itis?
You talking about from Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving. How you feeling about that?
I mean, I thought it was dope. I think it was interesting to see everybody celebrating their own unique way. Mm. You know, seeing as everything is different this year. So I thought it was really dope to see people do Zooms, keeping it small. Some people did travel, some people did link up with their family and things like that. But I think overall, it was a really, really interesting year when it came to Thanksgiving. And it's going to be an interesting year regarding the holidays in general.
Okay. It's definitely been an interesting year. Bro, let's kind of even get into all of this. Bro, the Grammys just dropped their nominations. And right. A whole bunch of debacle, a whole bunch of foolery, a whole bunch of everybody's kind of going crazy about it. Some people feel like the awards is deserved. Some people feel like the awards aren't deserved. Let's get into those conversations, bro. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, what can we say, right? This conversation comes up every year in regards to the Grammys. And I think that when we speak about the Grammy Awards, we do understand that culturally they're not as ingrained in Black culture as some of us would want them to be, obviously, and as they need to be, but we can't really expect anything more than that. So I feel like the hoopla this year, some of it is obviously warranted, and then I also feel like some celebrities are just jumping on bandwagons to try and stay relevant. Like I saw Safari jump into the conversation and say that he believed he should have gotten nominated. And I'm like, boy, sit down. Ain't nobody nominating you for a damn thing. Like, but but I do think that is warranted. I think Nicki made a really good point about, you know, when she felt she was snubbed. I think The Weeknd is making a really good point.
Wait, first of all, hey, let's bring it back to just even Nicki Minaj. She's been in the game, bro, for over a decade and kind of really was running things in the rap game for women and has not been presented a Grammy, bro. Like, it don't sound bugged out, but then Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy was legit. You know, we're not going to discredit all the work that Cardi's done, but she got a Grammy off rip for a dope album. And I just feel like with Nicki Minaj, for everything that she's done and all the number one hits that she's had and never been awarded a Grammy, just sounds kind of crazy, especially because she's been at her pinnacle of her career already. And I don't know if she'll ever get back to what she used to be to even be nominated the way that she should. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that we do have to keep in mind, though, is that timing is everything. So when Nicki came out, And she shouldn't have lost that Best New Artist Award. I think she should have got that because she was the most prominent person in that category at that moment in time. But any other time beyond that maybe she didn't win, the competition does change over the years. In certain categories, it becomes stiff. And so, like, sometimes when we make arguments for artists, we do have to keep in mind the actual competition that they were up against in said category and what should have won and this, that, and the third. But the Grammy specifically is notorious for having artists that should have won a category not win. And then The Weeknd also brought up a very good point, which Joe Budden actually has been saying for a very long time, is that the Grammy Awards is actually more political than anything else. And so yeah. with the Weeknd situation, his team is saying that the Grammys told him he could either perform for them and get nominated and potentially win awards if he only did the Grammys and reneged on the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so the question arises, why are you penalizing me for doing something else? If I want to do the Super Bowl and the Grammys, there should be no issue. And you shouldn't be telling me that I'm not going to get nominated because I decided I wanted to do another organization show. So that's really kind of where it becomes a thing where you kind of wash out your own organization. Now, no, the Grammys is going to continue to lose credibility because now we're not, we don't believe in the institution of it.
Yes. That's a complete fact. You know, that's right, sound effects. Back in the money. All right, now. First of all, this live is looking a little bit tired. Everybody, what's up? Is three people on this live today? Absolutely not. I need y'all to click the arrow and send this out.
Yes.
Wake up, everybody. We here for Black Culture to break down. X is talking, and he got a lot of jewels. Oh, let me send this live out real quick. But X, I completely agree. I definitely think that, I definitely feel like the Grammys overlooked a lot of different talent. Who actually said, yo, Grammys, you don't speak for us. You don't represent the culture. But we actually commend everybody that was out. Somebody actually said that, put a tweet out. Do you know who actually said that? I can't remember.
No, I don't know who said that. But I do remember last year when this conversation came up, Diddy had very clearly stated that if the Grammys was going to continue to be on this BS, that he and a couple of other prominent artists were going to come together and see what they could do about it, which in my estimation means that they're going to try and put together their own form of an award show. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's something that's on the horizon where you might see a titles award or something like that.
It's about time. I definitely feel like between all of the star power that the Black community have, we should be able to be running a lot of in the entertainment industry. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Right? Like with the music and the movies and all the stuff that we literally contribute. And let's talk about at the highest quality. Like, let's be for real. The things that sell the best in entertainment happens to be the pinnacle of Black culture.
Yeah. And I think that we're in this space now where we're starting to realize our power and what that means and how to utilize it. And we no longer want to have a institution that has mostly or predominantly white figures telling us if our art is impactful to the culture or not, when we know that it is. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to have like a Taylor Swift versus Kanye, and Taylor wins the Grammy one year and Kanye wins it another year, or whatever the case is. And there's another case to have some unknown artist that half the people can't name win over Nicki Minaj in the best new artist category when Nicki Minaj is dominating every single chart. And so when you have situations like that, that very clearly tells us you don't have a pulse on American culture at all. And when we're having those type of conversations, then yeah, we have to start realizing we don't need validation from a organization like that because they don't have their own ducks in order. They're political now. They're like, they're doing things based off of who they want to massage relationships with, who is trying to kiss ass to get the Grammys to like them. And so you lose credibility, and now you open up a space where Black people truly can put on probably the hottest award show you may ever see.
Listen, I definitely feel like we could, but we just gotta, if we're gonna do it, we gotta make sure we do it right. It gotta be quality, and it cannot be
trash. The other option is to take the BET Awards, take the Soul Train Awards, or take any other of the prominent solely Black award shows and have our Black celebrities start to truly treat those award shows like actual award shows. Start showing up like that would show up for the Grammys, start to perform and put sets together like you would for the Grammys, and start investing in those award shows to give them a lot of money.
Yes.
To you, would do with the Grammy. So those are the two options on the table. We either got to create a brand new show, which I think is kind of on the horizon, and then, you know, somewhat remove it from BET in the sense of Viacom does own it, which is white owned, but or we got to boost our pre-existing shows that already highlight Black culture.
Yes. Actually talking them straight facts. What's up, Diana Mooney? Courtney saying yes, that's a complete facts. What's up, Minora Hona? How you feeling? Everybody, welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown. Please tell your friends, share the live.
Yes.
X is dropping gems. Okay, X, moving on to the next topic, bro. The Mike Tyson fight last night. Come on, give me your rundown.
So, I mean, for me, the highlight was Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg needs to be a commentator on every damn sports event that we have. Like, we need Uncle Snoop doing the NBA Finals. We need Snoop doing the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. Snoop Dogg was the highlight for me. Of course, we have the Nate Robinson situation that is a meme that is going to transcend time. he let the culture down.
Confused, bro?
Oh, I was 100% confused, but...
Like, that was the OD sleeper. Like, it was an OD.
Well, I wasn't confused that he was going to get knocked out because as soon as the fight started, he was rushing in face first, no defense. Mm. And when he got tapped that first time and fell down, I was like, the fight is over. And because he's not. I mean, even before that, I was like, the fight is over because he's not. He's not presenting any defense. He's just rushing and throwing punches. And so anybody who fights, or anybody who has any kind of knowledge or insight on fighting knows that when you're a shorter guy fighting a taller guy, you absolutely need to close the distance. However, you also need to be tactful about it. You can't just rush because Jake had more reach and height. So his defense is he can easily just bend back and miss a punch. You need to come in close and you need to do body work. But he was just trying to go for a knockout in the first 30 seconds and he was winding himself and he had no skill in his approach. So I knew he was gonna get knocked out. I just didn't expect it to be three times.
Bro, he should have definitely caught the All right, when they tapped on the first time, all right? You should have been like, let me just relax.
And yeah, I thought after the first time he kind of, you know what I mean, had to lay down for a little bit, I thought he was going to maybe fall back on his defense. But instead, my man said, nah, I'm going to keep rushing in. How are you going to get knocked out? And that's what happened.
Listen, I hope that he's able to recover from this in the morning. Oh, it's today. I hope he was able to cover from it today, you know what I'm saying? But I know that looking on social media and seeing the memes, you just feel like,
damn. Well, one thing I will say is from a branding perspective, this might actually help him because Nate Robinson has kind of fallen out of relevancy. He was a really dope NBA star when he was in his prime.
The relevancy that we kind of want to attract, though?
Well, you see, when it comes to branding, right, this can lead to other roads. So it's not so much that, and I'm not one to say that all things are good things. I know that that's a statement that is always passed down. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is when you are completely irrelevant, then yes, all press is good press, right? He was completely irrelevant. Nobody was thinking about a Nate Robinson. But from this fight, you can now get a lot of interviews. You can now align yourself with Jake Paul. So there's a lot of people who didn't know who Nate Robinson was, who now do because of Jake Paul and that brand alignment. And you can also, if you're smart about it, just ride the wave a little bit and keep that stuff on your name and then potentially turn it into something, some form of a business or some form of a brand to keep it going. Because eventually the jokes and the memes will die down. You can even ask for a rematch. You know what I'm saying? And that keeps you in the limelight up until the rematch happens or doesn't happen. I wouldn't suggest it happen because he's going to get his ass knocked out again. But there's a lot of brand. Yes. There's a lot of relevancy to his brand.
That's Courtney's sister, ex. It's her birthday today. She's 18. Clap it up for Dana.
Oh, what's going on? Happy birthday.
That's right, Dana. Welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown.
Happy birthday, Dana.
These kids think they grown now. She thinks she's 18. She thinks she's grown. That's enough.
She's seeing them with all their makeup on and dresses stepping out. Y'all better sit your little asses down.
That's a whole act. Sit all the way down. You know what we got for you. All right, so X, bro, appreciate you coming on, man, and giving us the scoop, man. I wanted to get into Barack, but we out of time because I got to get Gospel Artist Entertainment on the live. Gospel Artist, are you on the live, my friend?
No doubt. All right, bro, take care.
Bro, we're going to talk soon, man. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, and we're going to definitely catch up. All right, bro?
You too, broski.
All right, man. Appreciate you. All right, y'all. So that was XAB giving us the coach news. You know how he do. Hold on a second. Relax, phone.
No.
You're not going to play with me today. All right, so that was XAB giving us the coaching news, all right? So thank y'all so much for tuning into Black Culture, the Breakdown.
Yes.
Now let's get the homie Gospel Artist Entertainment, actually the organization Gospel Artist Entertainment on the live. Gospel Artist Entertainment, are y'all ready? All right. They're not ready at the moment. But Dana, happy birthday. All right. How are y'all feeling today? But there's a lot that's going on. In entertainment, and we didn't talk about Barack Obama. We had to kind of skip that scene, but I may actually go back to it. How are y'all feeling today? We in the money out here? Did y'all tune in yesterday to What Happened, the band? Did y'all tune in? Oh, he's ready. All right, come on, Gospel. Let's get it cracking. What happened was everything, yo. Make sure, I hope y'all tuned in. It's all about having conversations with band. What up, bro?
Hey, yo.
That's more entertaining.
What up, man?
What's going on, player? How's everything?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm feeling good. Welcome back to the show, Black Coach of the Breakdown.
Man, I'm glad to be back.
Hold on. We gotta give you the proper welcome. All right, we got Gospel Artist Entertainment's CEO and founder Algie McCullough on the line.
What up?
That's right. Now, talk to us about what's going on, man. I just got off your live, and I seen that you just had So You Think You Can Sing. Let's clap it up for that. All right. You always got everybody in the energy. Talk to us about how you felt about today's episode, man.
Well, I will say this. First of all, I love doing what I do. I love discovering new talent. I love interacting with the people and joking around and playing around, yet learning people and how they are. But tonight's show, So You Think You Can Sing, was definitely, it was fun. It was different. It was random. It was out the box. One of the favorite things that I enjoyed was goofing around with one guy who came on and he rapped and he did his, he did his thing or whatnot. And then he, you know, was showing off his shoe collection or whatever. He was showing off his shoes and stuff. And, you know, and I was like, oh, that's dope. And then I was like, you know what? I got my custom shoes too. So I went and got one of my old shoes in there.
And they was telling you to throw them shoes away.
They was telling me to throw them shoes away. But you know what though? It's all good though. Those shoes are old. I have a bunch of shoes in my closet that are new, that are brand new, that look way better than that. I just want to grab something old. Cause you know that's the company in me, you know? So that was a fun moment.
Pitchle on that real quick. Like, let me tell you something. He got brand new shoes out here. That was only the test run, all right? Okay. All right. That really, really stunk, bro. I was there. I saw the guy on there with the shoes, and he was Nigerian and the whole floor. But now, I thought it was a young lady that really, I don't remember what song she sung, but everybody felt that, bro. Like, it was right after the guy with the shoes. But, you know, but she just really, she was one of your last acts, actually. And he was like, yo, you sung that. You understand? I can't remember.
Yeah. Cameron.
Cameron.
Yeah.
She killed that.
She was amazing.
So she comes on your show often and does and sings for you.
Well, that was her second time being on my show. That was because I do remember her coming to my show the first time. And so when she came on, I was like, who is this chick? She is incredible. And so this last time, well, tonight, she came on the show and I remember who she was. And, you know, I can always remember. There's just certain people that I remember, whether they sound good or bad, you know. It's just, you know, it's just those certain people that are memorable. No shade to anybody else, you know, but, you know, it's just those certain people. If we have some type of interaction or if you're, you know, you have some type of unique voice that just really, like, you know, click in my head and, you know, that it's embedded in my brain, I'm going to remember your voice and I'm going to remember you by face. I may not remember your name, but I'm always remembered by face quicker than I do by name. So she's definitely amazing.
That's a whole fact.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Appreciate you giving everybody this platform. Official Adam Rick, what's going on, man? I hope you're feeling better.
What up?
That's one of my producers on the show. He's down and out today, so we just sending our praise.
Oh, okay.
But Algin, man, yesterday we were on Gospel Artist Entertainment.
Yeah.
And we actually debuted our collaboration for you know, through your streaming site on Facebook. So let's
clap. Yeah.
Giving us the opportunity to even, you know, share what we had to share with getting to conversations on your platform. I wanted to actually, you know, dive into some of the conversations that went down on the platform.
And,
you know, the stuff and just to kind of get your feedback. You ready to have a conversation about
what? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday we had Lili from SWV that was co-hosting.
Yes.
All right. We're in the money. We had Ray Ray from Mindless Behavior. We had Carnell from B5.
Yes.
And then last but not least, we had Prince from GS. All right.
Yes.
They had an interesting conversation about what basically, like, how the group got started, interrupted their process, their highs and their lows that they kind of reached in their careers, and kind of what they're doing right now. So, you know, they kind of had a conversation about, now, first of all, how much of a fan are you of those boy bands? Are you any fans of them? No.
B5, like I said, I'm familiar with B5. The other ones I wasn't familiar with, but B5 I was pretty familiar with. I'm not a person that just goes searching for, you know, new artists unless they come on my show.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm just saying, you know, because I don't know. It's just, I mean, if I see them on television, then I'd be like, oh, who's that? Or if I see them somewhere, then I kind of, you know, do my research and kind of, you know, stay connected with them. But I'm just being honest. I'm not that type of person where I'm just like, okay, let me go and browse new artists on Google all day, every day, you know, just so. But I am familiar with B5. They're really dope. And then I just discovered the other guy groups, and they're amazing too.
Okay, okay. Now, but you know some of their tracks, though. You know Stanky Leg.
I know Stanky Leg.
And then from Mindless Behavior, you don't know none of their tracks from Mindless Behavior?
No.
Gotta know a Mindless Behavior track. Allow me, please. Please allow me to introduce you to, you know, maybe like the last, I guess, like, millennial boy band to really, like, I guess, like, do it for, like, the younger generation. You know what I'm saying? Well, hold on, let me leave what you on. You definitely heard some Mindless track. You just probably don't know what it is.
I probably have. I just ain't paid attention, but I probably have. Business is right. I got you know what? I actually do not.
All right. okay, okay. That was Mrs. Wright. This is one called Maga. All right.
Okay, okay.
We text each other a lot. Hey, my girl, she loves me. She hit me all the time, even texting me. Hey, my girl, she loves me. She hit me all the time. Let me know when I say hey. And you say what's up, and I be like, baby, do you miss me?
No? No?
Well, no.
Dang.
I'm bad
with this. All right, this one's called Girls Talking About.
Okay.
Crazy. You know, we're going to, no, when we get offline, I'm going to put you on the mind list.
Hey, please do.
All right. Choreographers are fire. Everyone's laughing in the comments, you know. But like, yo, but girls talking about hits. All right, hold on.
Okay.
Girls talking about that. The girls talking about that. The girls talking about that. The girls, girls.
Nope.
Oh, it's all right.
Damn. I know.
All right. You want to mindless behavior, right? Like,
you got to, yeah.
But no, we just put you on just now. Three songs. That last one was going, we got them girls talking about. I got them girls talking about. Yo, and they're mad. Yo. They're clean cut. They were 14 and 15 back in the day, and they can dance their behinds off, and they can sing. Go ahead.
I may have heard that song before.
Oh, you may have heard that one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I may have heard it before.
Yo, we got a winner. We got a winner.
Yo, we got a winner.
He catching it, though. He catching it, though. Violeta Ria. He is catching it. What's going on, Ordering? How do you, you know what, Aldrin, talk to me about when you're actually on here, because you do this on a free basis, and you're reading everyone's names that you cannot pronounce. What do you, because I'm still working on that.
No. Right. You said, what do I do?
When you start reading somebody's name and you're just like, I'm not going to be able to finish this. What do you do when you just stop mid-sentence, or do you just go kill?
Well, I just try to pronounce it the best way I can. Like, somebody's name on here is Lauren.score.se. They have their whole security number, social security number at the end of their you know, their
That's
name.
That's my cousin. That's my, what up, Lawrence? Lawrence.
Oh, okay. He just gave us his bank account number. See, just that quick.
Lawrence, how about you go into your settings and remove that 7923, okay? Immediately. Thank you.
No, but I can't pronounce everybody's name, and so I, you know, if I really cannot pronounce your name and I'm trying to join you in, I won't say nothing and I just join you in, and then I just be like, "What's your name? What is your name?" Like, you know, I get confused.
God.
You know, so you just never know.
So
unfortunately.
What are some, like, you know, even icebreakers? And that's what I'm saying, like, going back to even the show from what yesterday, but I want to get into that in a second. What are some icebreakers you do when you get people that come on your shows? Because I see you talk to literally anybody at any moment all over the world, right? When you're, what are some icebreakers that you do to be like, okay, this is either going to be super awkward right now, because you can just tell by the vibes, like, that pop up on the live like this?
And I would say exactly that. I would literally say, this is awkward. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I'm literally addressing what's happening on the live.
Next time you something like that on the live, just do like a crazy scream. In the face.
And I might.
And then, That was loud. Don't come on nobody live like that again.
Clean it up, all right? That is funny. I would do that, though. I don't mind. I would do that.
All right. So everybody that goes on, so you think you can sing, this is your voice. Get it together. Now, jumping back to the conversation, everybody's weak on here. Exactly. We say sound effects, me. Thank you. Sound effects, me too. the two wills, my God. Why, Jesus. You understand? Now, let me talk about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Conversation yesterday just about their experiences and being in the group. And they just basically came to the conclusion that groups really rarely work out because everyone ends up wanting to go solo, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you do a show so you think you can sing with solo acts is interesting to see that people have to start off in a group to even get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So how do you feel about groups? And, you know, would you ever be a part of a group?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know, I used to be a part of a singing group some years ago. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed my time in that singing group. But after a while, you know, I had to kind of like depart myself because of the simple fact that I wanted to just build up I wanted to build up my business, you know, and, you know, sometimes we have to choose, you know, what's for us in what season.
Come on.
Yeah. You know, so that season was over for me.
Absolutely.
And building up my business, the season was just now beginning.
Come on.
And yeah. So, you know, and so it was time to make a transition. And so will I ever sing in a group again? No, I don't think I would, because I have actually found something that have literally.
Oh, not even just to get the harmonizing going and just to get the people just to be like, oh, look at them singing in the group. Not even for the love.
I mean, I will help out. But as far as actually being a part of the group, no.
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
Understand.
No, because I've literally found the career, I found the vision and the goal that I've wanted to pursue. And that's where my focus is on. I don't want to ever put more than what I can handle on myself.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, you have to have a balance. And so me being the type of person where I used to sing in a group, you know, I've had my fun and I've had my share of, you know, enjoyments and, you know, I've literally sat in the group and sung with them and, you know, did all kind of stuff and enjoyed it. But it came to a time where I had to choose, okay, am I going to continue to pursue that? Or am I going to continue to pursue my dreams and goals and build up my business? So I had to choose one or the other. So I had to choose my business because that's my birthing ground. That's my business, my baby, you know? So
we all about the money, right? Mm-hmm. The money, correct? Because we're not trying to have no thugs. We got to
focus. Nope. Yep.
It's gospel artists, entertainment,
entertainment
media now to go to for everything, gospel and beyond. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely appreciate you even lending a hand and getting our platform and to giving us the platform to be able to kind of get our across with what happens. So clap it up for that. Guys, head over to Gospel Artists Entertainment's Facebook page and just look for the videos and type in what happened. And you can either check out the episode, the first premiere of it. And like I said, it had Ray Ray from Mindless Behavior that we just played, Lee Lee from SWV, you know, Carnell from B5, and, you know, Old Boy Prince from GS Boys. You know, so make sure you guys, this story was definitely quite interesting. Now, we have Miss Netta Brielle on coming on and talk to us. Now, are you familiar with Netta Brielle? Do you know any of her music?
Okay.
We're going to put you on right now. Netta. Okay. Talk to me. Here she go right here. I'm about to put you on right there now.
She go. Right. Netta Brielle. Hey.
Come on. We're about to put you on right now. First of all, everybody know. You might. I know you definitely. Okay. Everybody. We about to jam out for a second, everybody. We about to vibes. This is the cool sounds of Miss Nettie, yeah. Come on. You know you heard this before. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Boy, you should know that I've got you on my mind. Secret admirer.
Hey, I do know that one. Hey. Wait, that's her? That's her?
Miss Nettie.
I know exactly who that is.
You ain't know. Alright, so we about to we're about to get Miss Nettie on here in a second to definitely talk about her journey and everything in music. But thank you guys. Thank you so much, bro, for even coming on. They vibing out and laughing at us. Nettie,
I love it. Hey, I'ma go follow her. I didn't even know that was I'ma go follow her right now.
Yes, definitely go follow Netta, and we definitely and tap in and to hear her story, because I'm curious to get to the bottom of even how she even got to redo that song and just the movement that took everybody was doing that dance. You understand?
Oh but, yeah.
So we definitely gonna get into all of that. But okay. Aldrin, tell us what we got coming up next for this entertainment and anything that you want us to know before we wrap up.
Well, there's a lot with Gospel Artist Entertainment, but I can't tell you everything. But I will tell you the little bit that I do want to share with you. Well, first of all, Gospel Artist Entertainment, once again, is looking to turn into a TV network, online TV network, you know? And we're looking to build and continue building. Also, yes. Aside from Gospel Artist Entertainment, you know, your boy Aldrin is doing his thing, you know. And so I'm going to be doing So You Think You Can Sing. There are some other things that's in the making. But y'all have to follow us to know when those things are going to take place, okay? And Jersey, man, thank you so much for always including me, man. You rock.
Listen, you are a dope individual, and I love everything that you stand for, bro, and keep growing. You are not going to be a stranger on the show. As a matter of fact, Aldrin needs his own segment on Black culture.
We got to do it, man. What are you talking about? We got to do it.
So definitely figure it out and figure out how to get it work. But, bro, thanks for coming in, man, and giving us the conversation like you always do. We'll see you soon, all right?
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
All right, bro. Talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, y'all. Clap it up for the entertainment. Come on, yo. Talk about positivity.
Yes.
Talk about pushing the culture forward for gospel and beyond.
Yes.
Talk about building an empire, yo. Do you know Gospel Artist Entertainment has over 200,000 followers? Aldrin, you're doing it big out here. Now, let's get Miss Nettie Brielle in the building so we can kind of get to the bottom of where we got to get these conversations. Papa, Miss Nettie, are you ready for me? Come on, and can I play a song? Can we bring you into that? Can we vibe? Netta? Hey, yo, what's up, Netta?
What's up?
How we feeling?
Hold on, let me get this mask off. How are you?
That's right.
I'm at the studio right now. So, I'm in the kitchen. I snuck out for a second. Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's going on? How are you feeling, Suki?
What's up? Thank you for having me.
No worries. Welcome to Black Culture. The breakdown's packed up on my time. So, we was just...
Hey, David.
Nice to handle people. Yeah, we was about to your song just now. The comments went great.
I know. Thank you, guys.
And that was Gospel Artist, Mr. Aldrin McCullough, from CEO and founder of Gospel Artist Entertainment.
I'll have to go follow him and check him out. I'll have to do that.
He's turning over his brand into a TV network. I actually just did a special yesterday on his Facebook as the first here on his site. So,
okay.
Artist Entertainment has been able to kind of build over 100 followers on his page. And he was able to kind of have a conversation, you know, my B5, GS Boys, and Lily from V. So that was dope. So go check that out.
Okay, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
But Netta, let's get into you. Boo the Running Man. Before we even start from the beginning, talk to us about that track. And I want to, and I'm gonna figure out how to make this a movement.
Well, you know what? Shout out to Empire. Empire here in San Francisco. Ghazi was the person, the brainchild behind that. And I actually didn't know that it would explode the way it did. But you know how things just easily go viral now. So it just actually ended up being a thing that I didn't expect. And so, yeah, I've been, you know, putting out music since then. I'm very heavily into R&B, but I like to experiment with a lot of different sounds. That's kind of what I'm working on now. But yeah, you know, 2020 has been very interesting in a way that it has allowed me to sit down and, you know, start doing new music, you know, experimenting with different sounds and, you know what I'm saying? So.
Before we even get to where you are right now, walk us through how you even got started in the game. Tell us about the job. Black coach, we love educate.
Well, first of all, it's a pretty long story, you know, but I started out in the Bay Area.
All right.
And, you know, really just developing myself as an independent artist, which was interesting. And then I got the attention of, like, different labels that would come to the Bay Area looking for talent. Like, Def Jam was doing that. And then it didn't really work. Then I had to go back to square one. I was putting out mixtapes. This is when mixtapes were big, like, out in the streets where you literally go and hand them, you know, to people. And then I got an opportunity to go to Atlantic. And that was kind of, like, the start, the official start of everything. And so now I've just kind of been on some independent artist thing now and just putting out my own music, seeing what, you know, my artists love for me and just really trying to continue to deliver. So, yeah.
So now,
but it's been a long journey. It is a like a book. I don't know if you want to start turning the pages.
Oh, oh, you trying to pages. Hold on one second.
Yes.
First of all, your sound effects. Amazing. Like,
listen, the sound effects definitely gives Black culture to break down the extra math.
Yes.
All right. But now, doing the circuit, we're just kind of showcasing your talent to all these different labels, right? And you ended up from that, and then you didn't, that didn't go in the independent route. So now, talk to us about your experience being major versus right now, mm-hmm. how it differs and
which. A really dope question. I think there's a lot of pros and cons. I think being independent, you can move how you want to move. You can feed your audience. You can develop your brand without having to consult with so many different people. You just do what feels right in the moment. That has been really dope. But then also having that big machine, I feel like, is just as helpful. So, and it's kind of like, I don't have that machine, but I do have the ability to just give to my artists whatever sound I want to deliver, whatever content, and not really have to go through so many different channels. So that could be a good thing and a bad thing. So there's a lot of pros and there's a lot of cons to it. If the opportunity presented itself again and it worked out for me, I think I would take the opportunity. It just would have to be right. But right now, being independent, you kind of can't go wrong. You can just move how you see fit, you know, for yourself. You know, every artist is different. Every, mm-hmm. you know, everything is different. So.
Yeah. And yesterday, we talked to all the artists that we talked to. Like, yo, independent. So, but they struggle with being able to have a contract they want to do because of the budgets. So now, able to maneuver with creative and issues that you want, but yep. you kind of do.
Yeah, that's real. And I think it can be trying at times because you know you have quality music, you know you have, you know, like a great product, but sometimes when you don't have that platform, you're like, how can you really get it to the people? Who do you get? Like, you know what I mean? So I kind of find myself trying to figure through that. But I think it is a blessing to be able to just put out what you want to, when you want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah,
And this is another thing too, in being from the Bay Area, having so much support from my community, which I always think is key. I know we're in a different time, but like having that support of home, like to me, that's priceless. That just made me think of it because I'm looking at Dope Era, who's been so instrumental in like promoting me through different, you know, websites and things like that. So
shout out to
Dope. That always helps.
Well, shout out to Dope Era.
Yes.
And black artists. Black.
Wait, do the yes again. Do the yes again.
Yes.
Netta loves the sound effects. All right, Netta, we in the money. All
right,
so now.
Oh, no, wait. Now, what was that? Would that be like a cash register sound effect? What was that exactly?
That was when we in the money.
Gotcha.
We in the money. All right, whenever we got to let people know backup is danger.
That's enough. Do it again.
You, my sister, I'm always supporting you.
I appreciate it.
Sam Saplee says definitely support is key. Community and family would take you.
Absolutely.
Definitely will take you far. You've been able to kind of do quite a few things in your career. You had was like My Boo, Kiss, and they've done pretty well. So talk to us about fan base. Yeah, obviously showing up here right now. Talk to us. And how loyal they are to you, and how the personal connection that you have with them.
First of all, your questions are really good. I think that's what keeps me in it. I think I always tell people, like, music and industry and that whole thing, you really got to love it. Like, it really has to come from your soul, because it's so many up and downs where, you know, one thing may happen that'll make you feel like, oh, I cannot do this again. My heart is broken. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then there's another moment where, like, you know, things are amazing. It's just a lot of highs and lows that comes along with this. So you really got to love it to really be in it. And I would say that, like, my fans and, you know, the DMs I get, the emails I get, people that I see out on the street, like, those are the things that bring me back. Because sometimes I feel like, you know, we can be our own, you know, oh, I'm not here yet. I'm not where I thought that I would be. But then I'll see somebody and be like, well, when you did such and such, I was going through X, Y, and Z. And I feel like those are the signs from God that are just like, I told you, just give me a minute. Like, you are touching people. It may not be at the speed that you think that it should be, but it's happening. So those things are always, like, reassuring to me.
Yeah.
So my fans are super dope. Even when I don't put out music for a while, they'll be like, well, what's going on? And I'm like, you're right. What is going on? Let me get to the studio, you know? So I think those are the things that is people, the connection with people. That's what kind of keeps me in it.
So you're in it for the...
I'm in it for the people. I'm in it because I feel like it's chasing me. I feel like I was born to do this. And every time I try to do something else, I'm not fulfilled. So I'm always back here. So every time I try to run away, it's like, no, this is your calling. Figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's the connection with people. It's the, you know, using my gift that I feel like, you know, it's all of those things. So those moments where I quit, which is often, I jump right back in because nothing else really feels as right.
Yeah. So now, your personal connection with your fans is obviously there. You're obviously a people's girl. Now, talk to us about where you even get your sound from, right? I feel like your voice is so unique, and I feel like it's a fusion of many current artists and old artists, right? And who inspired you to even give you the sound that you have? Who do you listen to? Who do you vibe into?
I love anything that I can feel. You know, like, I love a great riff and all these beautiful, you know, changes. But if you can sing one simple word, but the way you strained it or the way that I like to just feel. It's all about feeling. So I like raspy tones. You know, I love Jasmine Sullivan, of course. Brandy. Tina Turner, like, just anything that has, like, this sweet strain from Mary J. Blige. And I was afraid of that sound at first. When I first started singing when I was younger, I thought that I was singing wrong because it had, like, this kind of ashy tone. And then it wasn't until I actually went to Atlanta that the people that I was working with there that was like, you know, this is your superpower. This is, it's okay to sing like this. This is how people will feel you. This is what your sweet spot is. And so I really accepted that. And now, you know, I feel like that is, and I was like, it makes sense because I do like all these different artists that had that same similar tone. And I love performing artists. I love an artist that, you know, will give you a great song, but then if they get on stage and perform it and deliver that same feeling that the record has, like, to me, that's unmatched. You know, so I love Usher. I just like performing artists.
Yeah, yeah. Perform. I'm a creative direction photographer. So I dance.
I saw that. I saw that.
You know, so I'm all about performance, and I love to be able to, you know, bring the performance out of artists. I like,
right? Like Janet Jackson, like, come on. Like, you have, you're bringing these great records to life on stage with all this stuff happening, all this choreography, scenery. Like, to me, that's so big. And I want to see more of that. I haven't seen a lot of, like, when we're talking production, I haven't seen a lot of that in a long time. So,
well, you know what? Now, talk to us about that. A lot of these artists, now, actually, before I get to this question, you mentioned that you had be with certain people to kind of help you find it and let you know it's actually okay, right? Like, you know, when you go to Atlanta and you see how Jermaine Dupri kind of cultivated Escape, kind of cultivated, you know, and then you go to New York and then see, like, you know, a different kind of group. SWV, I think, was based in New York, like a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it doesn't mean that one thing is not better than the other. Gabe and Esther, you are one of the greatest girls of all time, but they kind of have two different sounds.
Yeah.
Or have different tones. Coco, it's like a powerhouse. But mm-hmm. then you, and that's also like a powerhouse, but in a different kind of way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You know, so now, how important is working with the right producers and working with the right writers, just having the right team around you to make sure that your energy is right for you to do what you need to do on the songs?
I think that is key. I think that's the missing link, because when you think about Janet Jackson and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and that whole marriage, like, that's special. Or like when I was younger and I used to open CDs and I would see like LaFace's name on like an Usher CD, I'd be like, I need to get to Atlanta because I feel like nobody would understand me, like L.A. Reid and Babyface, because I don't know, it's just something about like when you put the right producers and writers with an artist and they really are building songs based on this artist's story, what they've been through, and that makes it more organic as opposed to just like going and cutting a bunch of records with a lot of different producers. Like, what's the theme? What's the lane? What's really your sound? Because now at that point, you're starting to kind of sound like everyone else. And I've went through that too. Like, I've had that experience too. But I feel like it's important to feel like when you put on an album that it's a book, you know, and the sounds are similar and it's marrying into the next song. And that, it's something about that. And I think that maybe because I grew up like being overly obsessed with, you know, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis and Babyface and, you know, Missy and just all these different
music. You just love music.
Yes.
And you know what? And we listen. I don't know why it is that there's a void now. You know, like, who do you like now? Current? Like, who's out now that you listen to? Like, I like the vibe. Like,
I like her. I think her is incredible.
Her is dope.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's been a long time since I've been like really excited about just what newer artists are doing, to be honest, because I be wanting to see like I want to see like something special. Like, that's dope, but what else? And think that she's really in that pocket. I like her so much. And this, just even in general, like seeing Jasmine Sullivan come back, we haven't seen her in a long time. And really just somehow it seems like this true core of R&B is starting to like resurface. And you know, I'm always for that. And not even just like R&B itself, but just music that's telling a story, music that I can feel when I turn it on, that doesn't necessarily sound like the last record I just listened to, like, you know. So
do you like
things up to witness?
You like,
hey, Kev. Huh?
Do you like Keisha Cole's music?
I love Keisha Cole. Well, okay, so listen, I'm from the Bay Area, right? So like anything that's Bay Area connected, like I have to be biased about.
Okay, you have
to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to. Like, if there's an athlete that's, like, from the Bay Area, but he, like, switched different teams, like, I'm going to that different team because that athlete's from the Bay Area. So, anything. So, yes, my favorite Keisha Cole project was probably her first one. I think her first one was my favorite. Just even being a young girl, like, wanting a record deal, too. And, you know what I mean? Like, seeing somebody coming from the same, you know, like, oh, I know I can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, I'm going to be biased when it comes to, like, Bay Area people.
It was heavily on that album, right?
Who?
Had a lot of influence on that album, correct?
Who did?
Kanye.
He was on record. I changed my mind. Yeah. And then also Dwayne Wiggins, which again is, you know, incredible. Like, you know, I'm just Bay Area.
Would you ever do a track with Keisha Cole?
Nobody's ever asked me that. Nobody has ever asked me that. Mm. I don't know. I would never say never.
Okay. All
right. That's wild. Nobody's ever asked me that.
Kalani's also from the Bay Area, correct?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of incredible artists that have come out of the Bay Area that I'm just always so, like, excited about, because I feel like we don't see it. There's so much talent here that sometimes it doesn't get out of here, I've noticed, just over the years. So when we see, you know, Kalani and G-Eazy and just certain people that really take it to that next level, it's super dope. It's really, really dope.
Super dope. So now talk to us about your crossover.
Sin From Heaven is probably like my favorite Keisha Cole song, actually. Whoever said that. That's my favorite Keisha Cole song. Yeah,
Sin From Heaven is definitely a classic. Now, mm-hmm. I know you also do acting. Talk to us about the crossover from music to acting and how that experience has been for you.
Actually, I just wrapped up a play last weekend. That will come out. It'll be a virtual play because, you know, we can't actually go into the theater right now. So that'll be on December 13th. So if anybody's in here interested, it's a Christmas play. It's really cool. The director's really dope. His name is Chris Cobbs. And the link is in my bio if anybody wants to purchase tickets now. I hadn't done any acting in like 10 years. I have a degree in theater that I have not been utilizing. So I say in 2020, I want to try to challenge myself to do the things that I've kind of put on the back burner. But when 2020, you know, became 2020, I was like, okay. But then when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, okay, I got to do it. So I've just tried to do more than just music. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely being involved in the arts, but just trying to expand. That's been my goal. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You're doing a good job, man.
I appreciate you. Good job. Give me the yes sound effect. Give me the yes again.
Yes. Come on. All right. That is how the game. Make sure you guys go see that play. Link is in her bio. What's the name of the play?
The name is called The Gift, A Christmas Story. And it's just basically about family, love, life. I think it's really, really, it's something that I hadn't done in many years. So it was fun to experience that again. And I think that it's nice for people to see me in a different light, you know, just outside of singing. So if you guys are interested, the link is in my bio. Go get your tickets now.
Make sure you do that.
Yes.
Link is in her bio.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now.
One more time.
Yes. All
right.
Thank you for that.
Now, have you been watching Versus?
Yes. What?
Okay, well, let's talk about Versus real quick.
Okay.
Volet already said yes. Link in bio. Ms. Gail White said I will, and I guess she's gonna support
it. Thank you, Ms. Gail.
Yes.
All right. What's going on, everybody? Make sure you guys are all tuning in. Make sure you guys follow me and follow Ms. Netta. We are here for Black Culture to Break Down, chopping it up with Netta Brielle, breaking down everything, music, acting, that she likes to do. But right now we're talking about Versus.
Talk about Versus.
We've been watching all quarantine. What has been your top three battles?
K-Dot, one of my producers is in here. Well, he actually did I Don't Mind, my recent single. You want to go check that out?
That's your is it on Spotify?
Yes, it is. And the video's out as well. Okay, yeah. Hey Taj.
Name of that single.
Huh?
What's the name of that single, Netta?
It's called I Don't Mind. It's a video out for it, too.
Okay, well, you know what? When you're done about this, we're going to play it and jam out for a second.
Okay, right? Cool. Okay, cool. My favorite verses thus far, I'm going to be biased, so we'll just go there. I guess Brandy and Monica was my favorite, just because, you know, the 15-year-old soul in me had been waiting for that for so many years. So that was my ultimate favorite.
Okay, okay.
But overall, they've just been dope. It's just been really cool to, like, experience, you know, and go back to, you know, when we were younger and when we were tearing CDs open and looking at the credits in the back. And it's just been dope to revisit good times. Yeah.
But now, being unbiased, who do you think won that verse battle? You got to pick a winner. Everybody be like, oh, I can't pick.
Oh, who won Brandy? I'm going to be biased. I'm going to be biased. Hey, Mike. I'm going to be biased.
Not the fade. Talk about hit for hit. Really, juggler for juggler with song for song with the way they was playing. Who you think took it?
I'm going to say Brandy. I'm going to say Brandy. Oh, geez. I'm going to, because listen, I don't know. Like, she's like my first Black princess. Her tone, her song selections, her albums, her just, yes. It's a different kind of, like, I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge Monica fan too. And I will say this, I forgot about some of Monica's hits. I did, until she started playing them. And I was like, wait. Like, so that was hard, but I'm gonna pick Brandy. Who you pick?
I'm gonna also agree and say that Brandy is my vibes. Broken hearted. You know, Brandy is definitely my vibes. You understand? Monica, though, makes me, you know, like, I explain it.
No, say it. Say it. Go. Say
you know,
it.
Monica makes me feel dope. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Brandy's more like a vibe. If that makes sense. It's more like a vibe. Whereas Monica, I feel like whenever you're going through whatever you want to go through, you throw on some Monica, but Monica's not my first choice to put on something when I'm going through something.
Let me be transparent with you, because you're right. So with Brandy, if I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm going through a heartbreak, I want to dance, like, I can go to her for all of that. I went through a phase, you know, when I was like 20, 21, where I wanted to date a drug dealer. Like, I went through that phase, right? And so I, like, dated a drug dealer for like 5 minutes just because I was so intrigued by it. And so after the Storm album, like, you know, it was like, you date drug dealers for the album.
Okay, so you date drug dealers for that album. That's hilarious. Now, hold on, Monica, wait. Now, Monica has had some, she said, kick down your doors and smack your chin. You know,
that energy, like that energy, like, exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, but you know what? Monica's been transcendent through the generations, and she's been able to stay relevant. She's been singing big like that, and she's 40 years old now, and still relevant very much today. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Give it to her. And
absolutely.
Brandy, just on a superstar level, come on, Moesha, Cinderella. All the hits. Brandy's done it for the culture. Just clap it up.
I want her to, I haven't watched the Soul Train Awards yet. I'm going to watch them when I get home. Mm-hmm. But I just want her to be celebrated more. She's broken so many barriers. She'll do some things that some of our favorites probably won't get a chance to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I want her to be respected for that. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like she's not. I don't know.
I agree. But I want her to also put herself on a queen level where I know that she belongs.
And I get that.
I think people definitely treat you the way that you, the energy that you put out. I feel like while Whitney,
that's deep.
You know, it's real. You know, I watch a lot of my Brandy interviews, and she's very so emotional and is about what people think. Very much like that, you know, and she's an artist, and we're sensitive about our, you
know, we are so,
you know, and I think where Whitney was dope is Whitney didn't care. She was just like, yo, I'm gangster, you understand? And even if she was singing and she would make her off note, who was gonna ever tell her that? And, you know,
right?
Gave you that insight, make you be like, I'm Whitney Houston, so. So it's just a presence that you understand, that I think is ownership, owning who you are. You know?
That's deep.
And Monica got that on it.
Oh, she got that. I love her energy. I love it.
Now, talk to us about your, okay, so Brandy and Monica is definitely number one for you. What other verses? Did you get a chance to see Gucci and G?
I did. I felt like if you're not from Atlanta, like, you don't have a right to, like, pick. I felt like I couldn't pick. I just had to watch because I'm, like, not from Atlanta.
Okay.
So I don't know if my – but then also the Bay Area, I guess I could have picked, but I just didn't know. I just wanted to enjoy it.
Got you enjoy it?
I did.
Did you have your drink ready and was you turned up in the crib?
No, I wasn't. I was actually getting my hair done watching. Oh. but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Got you. All right. So now, Netta, talk to us about what you got. Oh, can we play a track? What you got going on? Tell us about this single. Introduce it real quick, and then we're going to vibe out.
Okay. So what did you have? I Don't Mind.
I Don't Mind.
That's the most recent single that I've been pushing. We shot a video for it a couple months ago. Very R&B, very, you will hear elements and, you know, melodies of like some of my favorite artists within that song. And it's just one of those records that I didn't give a lot of push to and people would always bring it up. So we just decided to shoot a video for it. It kind of like revived it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And it was produced by?
It was produced by KDOT.
K-Dot. All right. Mm-hmm. We're about to rock out.
K-Dot is actually from New York, too, I believe. But he lives in the Bay now, so.
And no, there ain't time for New York. We're going to definitely connect, right?
Okay.
Play this out. All right.
Let me scroll up.
Hey. Couldn't let my feelings show, but now he's fine. You got magic in your eyes, right now.
What's up, Ray?
Cause I'm not giving my love, cause I love you.
You gotta tell me what melody you hear. Let me see how good you are.
You said what?
You gotta tell me a melody that you heard in there that I stole. Let me see how good you are.
All right, I'm putting the bag on.
Hey, Dave.
Marsha Ambrosia.
Keep going.
Okay, hold on.
The second verse will give it to you.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm all in, baby, stay with me, cause baby, I'm real, been stressed with this time, cause I really want you, and I want you to my cause
you want me to tell you? Okay, so Sade.
Okay.
Anita Baker. This is the one that people don't get. Usher. The I Don't Mind Giving My Love. You remind me of a girl that I once knew.
Hey.
You don't catch that.
I did catch that, but I hear it now.
That shot. I be stealing. Don't tell nobody.
Much influences your tone, though, because you can, you know what I'm saying, hear your need.
Thank you.
Tiana Taylor would be dope to do it.
You know what? I wanted her to be nominated for a Grammy. I'm not going to hold you. Mm-hmm. I feel like she deserves that.
Agree.
Right? I'm a big fan.
Now, talk to us about the Grammy debacle right now. Do you feel like that? Do you agree with all the with the way that they go about the Grammys? Are you in agreement with the choices that they make, or do you feel like we shouldn't even care for us anyways? Or talk to us about how Netta Brio is.
Well, I hear that they're going through some changes. They are making themselves aware of, like, needing to diversify. Is that the word? And so it looks like they're trying to make changes. The hip-hop, that was a little interesting. For me. I think I seen Freddie Gibbs in there. I was like, okay. Did you see that? He was nominated. So I am starting to see some changes, which is dope. But I think there's definitely still room for improvement.
Not a like, little. Come on, Lil Baby, biggest rappers right now, and he wasn't nominated. He didn't get Roddy Ricch, he did numbers, and he, you know, so
that's true.
So you, I don't understand why credit people that without quality.
That's true.
And don't do, but then who give somebody a Billboard number one? And I just don't really understand.
I get it.
So we just got it. Like, come on, because you know Roddy Ricch. Come on, the videos.
Oh yeah, he dominated. Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So it's interesting. Nicki Minaj is, you know, made some comments and said in the game basically 10 years plus and has not gotten a Grammy. All right,
that's wild to me, actually. Actually pretty wild to me. And usually I'm the type to be like, all right, shake it off. Like, all right, listen, like, you know, do it. Like, let's just figure out. But when certain people say stuff, I'm like, you know, you're right. Like, she changed the game. Like, she turned the whole, like, so it, when she said it, I was like, damn, you're right. That's kind of wild. Then I had to research, like, where did the guy go that won? Like, I don't remember that. Like, I had to find out, like, when was this?
That's awesome.
But from what I'm hearing, they are making, like, some changes, and they are trying to be more aware and, you know, that they understand that there's room for improvement with that, which is dope.
Well, like I said, I had Lily yesterday, 30-year reunion next year, and they have never been.
Who?
WV. Okay, and they've had Week. I'm So Into You. All these songs, Rain. All these songs. And through the 90s, they have 12 charting hits on Billboard. Week spent 26 weeks on the charts, and they were hitting number one. They never got it. So, you know, so it's just to see now. And then now Cardi B dropped an album, Invasion, mm-hmm. which you got to give her props.
Yes.
That album went crazy. For her first album. You know, people are not understanding. But then they say that maybe she went against people that wasn't that good that year. So it was like, how do you try to keep it fair for everybody? Now, Meg Thee Stallion's up now for 4 grand.
You know what's crazy is, speaking of Soul Train, I think my first time seeing SWV on stage getting an award, I mean, I'm sure it's probably happened, but my first time seeing is when they honored them at Soul Train. Was that last year or the year before?
That was SWV. Before, and that is the only award.
That is the only one I remember, and it was crazy. And Lily specifically, I still have it because I have to go look at things sometimes to kind of like uplift my own mindset. She was saying something like, this is our, like, don't give up. Like, y'all keep, like, everybody who think that, you know, people aren't listening to you, this is our first time. Like, she really spoke to my spirit, especially being, like, an independent artist and feeling like you're running hard to get to the next stop and, like, you're not getting there. And it's like, well, what's happening? And mm-hmm. then for them to see them to get that and to acknowledge people who have maybe had those same experiences as an artist, I thought that was super dope. But it is weird to only see them get an award at that time, knowing the impact and the numbers. Is like, it is a little interesting.
Very, very. You know, so, you know, I'm curious, but they saying that they got works, you know, X earlier, he gives us the culture news, XAB, and he was talking about Puffy announced the works of their own academy, you know, for Black people. You don't see it out, and we gonna keep y'all to break down. You know, yeah. But I think, what is that? How does that sound to you?
That sounds crazy. That sounds like that would be special.
It would be super special. And I think, mm-hmm. because we are really the culture. Imagine if Black people
said, we push it forward.
No more. As a matter of fact, please please don't play our music on none of y'all. As a matter of fact,
don't get me started. Please don't get me started in here.
What would happen?
Nothing. Everything would be gone. Like what? I don't like you. We push this culture forward. We keep it alive. We invite.
It's facts. Yeah. And so I just hope that we do get our just. I spoke to us before we end about just as a black woman now, and just feel in America. You feel protected in America as a black.
No. Next question.
Wow.
I can't say that I do.
Mm. Now apply it to the music industry. As a black woman in music industry, do mm-hmm. you even extra layer of unprotected? Because now you're dealing with all these men that are, you know, looking for whatever it is that they're looking for, if it's just you doing numbers or they just because they're trying to hook up with you, the case may be. Talk to us about that experience, just black women now in the music industry as an independent artist. I know that's extra.
It is. I think what I run into the most is when I have an opinion or if I don't want to do something or if I want to do something a different way, like worrying about, am I being too difficult? Are they going to think that I'm being like a difficult black woman? Oh, you think that I am being a difficult black woman because I want to do it a certain way or I don't feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like these things run through my mind because I want to get things done. I want to succeed. I want to move to the next step. But then sometimes I do find myself wondering if they're going to assume that I'm just too hard to work with because I have an opinion. And I'm a black woman, so I got an opinion with like some sass to it. You know what I'm saying? And I deal with that a lot. But as far as like people, like men trying, I have to honestly say I haven't experienced that as much as people would probably think. But the way I was raised and, you know, my mom being such a strong woman and teaching us a lot of things at a young age, I was able to kind of maneuver through certain things like that. So anything I've done, whether it was a mistake or not, it was all my choice. So it's always been more so of like me being difficult to work with because I have an opinion.
Mm.
And I hate that.
Mm. So now, do you almost feel like you have to curb your opinion sometimes? Like, you know what, I've said something too many times already, so if I again now, it's being extra. Do you sometimes got to hold back on what you kind of want to do for your career because you want to kind of that?
Mm-hmm. I've definitely been there. I've definitely been like, oh my God, I'm actually at the place that I prayed to be. Maybe I shouldn't say too much because I don't want to lose this opportunity. I've definitely been there. Had to learn the hard way with that because I think that it is important to stand your ground and to speak your truth and to be clear about who you are, what you want to do. And I think that sometimes I would silence myself because I didn't want to lose opportunities. Mm-hmm. But I think in working through that, I've learned that you can't be like that. And I think that's another thing that I've learned as I become a full independent artist, like being true to yourself, doing what feels right for you, standing up for yourself. Like those are the things that you need, especially in this business. And sometimes I can't say I've fully been like that.
Come on, you talking, come on. Yes, talking straight facts on here on Black Girl. Now she's dropping them gems. Free. Well, all right. So, Netta, it's just about this Black Coaches Breakdown. It's really about talking to people that have accomplished things in their career. And we know so much, you know, so much more that you probably do. Now, you know, what is like your something next 5 years in your vision? What, mm-hmm. where do you see the artist 5 years?
I don't want the same things I wanted like maybe 5 years ago, and I was still a full-blown artist at that time. I think now I want my music to just reach, I just want to expand, you know. I want my music to go around the world and not just be, you know, here in the Bay Area, or you know what I'm saying, like I really want to continue to make music that'll reach different people around the world. And then I mean, if I could have a number one single or something that was just chart topping and I can really fully be within that industry and succeed, I've ultimately always wanted that. That's probably something that would never change. So I would say like a truly successful album, number-wise and connection-wise. I would like to start a family at some point, too. I think I noticed that you can do things now that you couldn't do 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could now go have a child or go be married and go successfully do that and still, you know, push your career. Whereas I thought, or I was trained to feel like I couldn't do that before.
You can, this is what I'm saying. As a woman in the entertainment industry, being an independent artist, it's a lot of different. Because it's like, okay, if I get pregnant, you think about it, pop out on you, whatever the case.
Yes.
You know, you're thinking about all the, you know, whoever that you're talking about, they're like, oh, shit. Any of that messed up, you know, so that's why it's interesting to kind of hear that it's all connected. Now, how can we help you, you know, get your music,
you know? Yeah, I think, I mean, I really just for me, like promotion is always very difficult because ultimately I'm doing a lot of it myself. Mm-hmm. So that platform, I would like it to grow, but it has taken some time. And so I, you know, for people to stream my music, tell a friend, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I have the issues where it comes to like promoting on via social media. I'm still learning that. Cause when I started out, it was more of like contact, going out, doing shows, really physically passing out your music, you know? And so now having to have your brand, but then also having to promote yourself, like your social media, your personality. I'm here, I'm there, but I'm more so like studio, get this done, show, go home. Like, I'm not in the club every night.
You're it's okay, I'm old school too, and I'm very much, very much. And you know, I'm millennial. So, you know, and I like the grapes. I like to see how they things, and I like to kind of that, and you know. But now with, you know, with COVID and with everything going on, everything right here, look how we talking right now. You know, like,
yeah. Also, yeah.
Interesting learning how to adapt. So,
right.
Have you figured out like the formula yet? Like, all right, like this is what I'm gonna do this day. I'm gonna like, have you figured it out, or you?
Yeah, you know what? I think I've been trying to kind of like show my personality more. You know, be on social media more, talk, post my TikToks. Shoot more videos. Right. I have kind of started revisiting some of my old songs that I feel like didn't get that full push, and I've been like kind of shooting visuals for those. Mm-hmm. And people are like, I love your new song, and I'm like, oh, I did that 3 years ago, but cool. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's been dope too. People are now sitting down and being like, well, let me check this out. Let me see, because they have the time to do that. And right now I'm putting together a small EP that hopefully should be done in the next couple weeks that I want to get out. Because I know it's time for me to kind of get, it's been a while. So really just feeding content and being consistent with it.
Okay, got it. We're excited.
Thank you.
In the month, we put in nothing positive energy into your life.
Yeah.
Career. When you get out here and have a studio, like an actual academy, a dance, you come out here, thank me.
In Atlanta?
In New York, in Brooklyn.
Oh, dope. Okay. So
if you ever in New York, link me, let's visuals.
Or, you know, I'm going to remember you said that, so when I hit you up, don't be like, I ain't say that.
I'm definitely. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk when we get off the live, because I want to actually do a class soon. And I'm looking to, you know, come up with an artist to kind of maybe I could change to
when he's New York. Okay.
We'll figure it out. We're going to talk offline.
That sounds dope. That sounds dope.
But I think that will be all the way fire. But let's definitely keep the conversation open. And okay. let's not be a show. And, you know, so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Now,
you going to save this so I can steal it?
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to put it up on the page. You'll be able to share everything. Everybody, thank y'all for tuning in. Make sure you go follow Netta Brielle. All right. Let's everybody on you and what you got going on now.
Yes, you can visit my website. It's officialnettabrielle.com. It has all my updated information. I think I use Instagram the most. But right now I have the play coming, The Gift, if you're interested in theater. And it's a Christmas play. It's super dope. The link is in my bio. Yeah, YouTube. I have my latest video, I Don't Mind, out. And I'm actually working on an EP now. The goal is to have it done by the end of December. We will see.
That's right. And we'll be here to support you.
I appreciate you.
Brooklyn Lotus Christian said, thank you for speaking to our community. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next Sunday. I'm back, Coach. See you later.